Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
It is a waste to misuse scarce resources like time, talents, or money. However, the worldly idea of something being wasteful is often at odds with what God thinks is wasteful. Investing your life in anything other than service and devotion to Jesus Christ is wasteful in God's eyes. Are you wasting your life? Please open your Bible to Mark chapter 14 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola continues his study of verses 1 through 11.
Beloved, nothing that is given to Jesus, done for Jesus, and his glory is ever wasted. Paul the Apostle tells us at the end of 1 Corinthians 15 that your labor in the Lord is never in vain. Now, and we're going to look into this in a few minutes, how the world defines a waste and what God calls a waste are vastly different. And so the question that each one of us, myself included, at the top of the list, needs to ponder this morning is this. By which definition of waste do you believe and live your life? The fallen world system's definition of a waste, or what the Lord Jesus Christ calls a waste? The ointment that Mary poured out on the Lord was done with a specific purpose. Matthew 26, 12 says, "For in that she has poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial." And so according to Jesus, Mary was preparing his body for burial, and she anointed his head and, John says, his feet. Now don't overlook this. Mary, no doubt, had heard Jesus teach. Mary was a woman that got it. Jesus had been saying, "I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified." And she got it. It's amazing. She got it. And an apostle and some of the disciples didn't get it. This ointment was very, very expensive. In fact, some even say that this ointment would have been reserved by a woman who was a virgin to be given to her bridegroom when she met him. We know that this ointment was a special kind of spikenard, and the historians tell us it was imported from India, and the jar would have been equivalent to 1 year's income. What does that tell you? Well, one thing it tells me is that Mary valued Jesus more than her most valuable possession. Do you? Do I? Think of your most valuable possession poured out on Jesus. And how does she do this? Quietly? Does he do this because so that nobody can see? Now, there is a way. When we give, we are to be giving. We know to not let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. There's a way of giving that is not proper. But here, this is a public place, like here, like for you and me gathered here. And she lavishly and lovingly pours out the most expensive thing that she possessed upon the Lord. She wasn't ashamed to show her love for Christ openly. She showed her love for Jesus while he was still alive. You know, we only get to do this once. Today is a day that we get to show our love for Christ. And it's interesting because many times we show our love for Christ by showing love to those in need. In Matthew 25, Jesus, when he separated the sheep from the goats, says, I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger or took you in, or naked and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and came unto you? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it to me. Many times when we are showing love for those that are hurting, those that are needy, those that are sick, those that are incarcerated, we're actually doing it. When we do it as unto the Lord, Jesus says, you've done it as unto me. Jesus was asked, what are the great commandments? He says, the great commandments is that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And you should love your neighbor as yourself. And these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so when a person is born again, regenerated by the Spirit of God, they are going to be a lover of the living God. They're going to be a lover of Jesus Christ. They're going to be a lover of the Spirit of God. And they are going to be people who love the Lord in loving people. Now in verse 9, Jesus says in Mark 14, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. So preachers like myself have been very, very amiss. Because the Lord says, every time the gospel is preached, mention her. So important was this act of devotion that Jesus said, wherever the gospel is preached, whatever century, whatever culture, wherever it's preached, this act of devotion is to be mentioned. That is extremely significant. The account of Mary's devotion towards Jesus Christ was such an example and such a blessing, not only to him, but to the early church. And because of the records in the three Gospels, Mary's devotion to Christ, beloved, is a call of what it means to be sold out for Jesus Christ. What we learn from Mary, according to Jesus, is this. Ready? Your life and your lifestyle is your statement of faith. Mary, what she did was her theology in practice. She was living out her convictions. Your life, my life, your lifestyle, my lifestyle reveals what we believe, what standards we live our lives by, what we consider to be a waste or not a waste. Now, I'm going to get to that in a moment. But Mark then goes back to Judas in verses 10 and 11. Judas, one of the 12, one of the chief priests, to betray him unto them. Now, he would betray him for what? 30 pieces of silver, the price of a gored slave in the old covenant, a gored ox, pardon me. And when they heard it, they were glad. They promised to give him money, and he sought how he may conveniently betray him. So Judas solved the problem of how the Jewish leaders could arrest Jesus without causing a riot during the feast. And as I said, according to Exodus 21:32, he sold his master for the price of a slave. To me, that is the basest act of treachery in all of history. And then he said this, the one that I kiss, in the garden is him. Tragic. Warren Wiersbe writes this. By placing this story of the lavish expression of the devotion of Mary between the accounts of the plot to arrest Jesus, Mark contrasted the treachery of Judas and the leaders with the love and loyalty of Mary. The ugliness of their sins makes the beauty of her sacrifice even more meaningful. So back to something that I mentioned a couple of moments ago. For you here, beautiful day. If you're home watching online and you could have been here, oh, it's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. But I want to ask you a question, and I've asked myself this question. Are you wasting your life? I want you to ponder that question as we work our way through some of the practical applications from this deed of Mary. I find myself in reading this scripture being very impressed by many of the women in the Bible. Mary being one, of course, Mary, our Lord's mother being one, Deborah being one, Aquila and Priscilla being one. There are so, Esther being one. Women that have such a strong love for the Lord and a strong conviction. Their price is far above rubies. I'm married to one. I asked you if you're wasting your life. Well, what is a waste? Well, by definition, a waste is something that is considered to be a tragic loss. Something that is misused, or what a shame. You could be making so much more money if you just played drums in a rock and roll band, Pastor Ray. A waste is something that you can do without. You don't save your garbage, do you? I know some of you are going to say, well, I put it in the compost. I'm not talking about that. It's something that has no real value to you. You see, as a born-again believer, our value system and what we consider to be a waste is far different than what the world's value system is and what they consider to be a waste. And Mary provides for us a beautiful and unashamed expression of what it means to be devoted to Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart that Mary would have showed her love for Christ whether there was a house, whether even if there wasn't a house full of people. This was just the way she was. And yet, some of Jesus' disciples, influenced by Judas Iscariot, regarded her lavish act of devotion as a waste. And they couched their unbelief, they couched what they considered to be a waste in spiritual lingo. Now, follow this with me. Here we are at the end of our Lord's earthly ministry. He's been teaching now publicly for at least 3 years, close to 3 years. And here at the end of 3 years, an apostle didn't get it. Many of the Lord's disciples didn't get it. They failed to grasp what Jesus was saying. They failed to grasp this, the priority of loving Jesus Christ more than anyone or anything. To them, what this woman did, how she chose to live her life, was nothing more than a waste. And it sounded so pious, doesn't it? Isn't it amazing how hypocrites can sound so pious? Why was this waste? And the money not given to the poor. Judas would want the people back then, and you and I, to believe that he cared for the poor. when in reality, John chapter 12, verses 4 through 6 says, he couldn't care about the poor. He just wanted the money for himself. I wonder how many times in the 3 years that Jesus was ministering, I wonder how many times people gave money to Judas to give to Jesus and he put it in his pocket. You know, even a hypocrite can sound holy. You read in the upper room, 6 days later, the disciples still thought Judas was concerned about helping the poor in John chapter 13. Remember, he left the room and they thought, where is he going to go? Oh, he's probably going to give the money to the poor. You know what that tells me? You can fool others. You can even fool yourself, but you can't fool the Lord. The real you, the real me, ultimately shows who we are, both in private and in public. You know, it is interesting that the word translated waste in Mark chapter 14, verse 4, is translated in John chapter 17, verse 12, perdition. And it applies to Judas. So connect the dots. Judas criticized Mary for wasting money, but the Holy Spirit said he wasted his entire life. And he would be separated from God for all eternity. Beloved, there's always going to be people who are going to challenge or question your heartfelt devotion to Jesus Christ. In their minds, you're wasting your life. Judas and other disciples of Jesus, even at this point in time, considered what Mary was doing as being a needless waste. You've probably had some of your family members, friends, co-workers, colleagues at school tell you, what a waste. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your money. You're wasting your energy. Isn't it wonderful to be a fool for Christ? I'm glad five of you agree with me. People always questioning or looking at you like, oh, that poor guy, that poor gal. That's such potential. Such potential. It's all gone to waste. You know, there are others who may not really understand your heartfelt devotion to the Lord Jesus, like Mary displayed it today. I remember when they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to its rightful place, and David was dancing before the Lord, and Miriam, his wife, said, what an exhibitionist, what a waste that is. Look at you, what a fool. And David said, you've seen nothing yet, honey. Isn't it interesting? Miriam was barren. And when people do not see the value of being sold out for Jesus Christ, he or her are going to be barren. No matter what others may say about your worship, about your service, remember this. The most important thing for you and me is that you and I please the Lord. The fact that others misunderstand and criticize us should not cause us or keep us from showing love to Christ. Live your life for the approval of one. Oh, how nice. In the Jesus movement, there was a term, and for those of you who are as young as I am and were in that movement, you'll know what I'm talking about. You were sold out. That's sold out. That's it. I once was lost, and now I'm found. I'm all in. That's the only way to follow Christ. You're either all in or you're all out. Half of Jesus didn't die on the cross. All of Christ died on the cross. And that was the slogan. You're just sold out, all in. Mary says here, I'm holding nothing back. And I believe with all of my heart that a reason why her act of devotion is to be preached wherever the gospel is preached, because she is an example of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Mary is a wonderful example of an individual. She heard Jesus teach. She saw how he ministered to others. She saw a father's holy compassion for the multitudes. No doubt she heard Jesus pray. No doubt she believed the words that he was the Messiah. And when he gave the call to follow him, she got it. She got it. Whatever I saw Jesus do, wherever I saw Jesus go, however I saw Jesus minister, however I saw Jesus pray, that's what it means for me. Paul the Apostle says, follow me as I follow Christ. My second point. And so the call to follow Jesus for you and me today. Now, Mary showed this devotion before Jesus went to the cross, before Jesus was buried and rose again and ascended. We're here on the other side. How much more does this apply to you and me? You see, right now, eternity lies in the balances. The call to follow Jesus means making the choice to live a gospel-shaped, seeking-first, Christ-centered, filled-out, sold-out lifestyle. Mary was not hesitant to pour out her life on Jesus. Poured out. That's how our lives are to be. Poured out for the Lord. Poured out. Poured out. Not poor me. Poor me is the path to depression and discouragement. Poured out is the path of joy and life and peace. You know, you cannot study the Bible diligently and prayerfully without being struck by an obvious fact. The whole matter of personal holiness and full surrender to the Lord and to his will is highly important. Highly important. And it was modeled by who? It was modeled by Jesus. And it was followed by Mary and others. Now, I want to make a point here. Please understand that I'm not saying that every person in the body of Christ here today is required after the service to go up to this donation box and give 1 year's wages to prove how much you love Jesus. That's not the point. In fact, hide it. That's not the point. What I am saying unto every person in the body of Christ is this. There is no such thing as a half-hearted follower. I mean, you've made a decision. You're going to have good days, bad days, up days, down days, victories, failures, but you've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. You can't be someone who says, well, I'm kind of like, I'm living in two worlds. You can't live in two worlds. You can't serve God and mammon. Can't. Don't think you're the exception. You're either all in or you're all out. Now, the Lord isn't looking for sinlessness, but he is looking for sincerity. He is looking for wholeheartedness. In Jeremiah 29:13, we read, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Psalm 119, verse 2, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Psalm 119, verse 58, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his holy, his wonderful.
Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but No single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you.
Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can also subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email.
We welcome you to join us on Sundays at 9:30 a.m.
and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our regular services. Nursery and youth activities will be available. Please check our website for last-minute changes or cancellations due to weather or other causes. Our address is 500 Main Street in East Rochester, New York. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.